Joyful Manifestation is being broadcast live on iHeart, iTunes, and many, many other stations. Hi, this is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show. Welcome back. Happy New Year. I hope you've had a wonderful December 31st and a wonderful January 1st, 2019. 2018 went by so fast, but then so did 2017. A lot of resolutions going to be set for 2019. What is it that you have made? What are the resolutions that you have in terms of your life, in terms of your happiness, in terms of money, in terms of friendship, and in terms of love? Are you somebody who keeps her resolutions? Do they just fly away in the wind, never to appear again? Holiday season, everybody eating more, I assume. Not everybody does, but they're supposed to be eating more, right, in holiday season. Then melting of the fat come 2019. Going to the gym, wanting to feel more attractive, presenting your best selves. We're in for a fantastic 2019, and I hope you're tuning into that. Good 2019 vibrations. Fantastic 2019 vibrations. I hope you allow joyful manifestation to work for you even better in 2019. For those who are tuning in for the first time, Joyful Manifestation, the show, started on December 7th of 2017. That's when we had our first show. It is a bi-weekly show. We're on every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The idea for Joyful Manifestation came to me because I am the author of the book Joyful Manifestation, which contains the Joyful Manifestation process created by me. You know, the movie, The Secret, then you've got What the Bleep Do We Know. So you've got all these manifestation movies out there, and I love The Secret. I do. And the Law of Attraction teachings. However, I felt the Law of Attraction needed something more. I come from the East, I come from India, and I have read some of the most ancient texts from India about the soul, about life, and about who we truly are, about karma, etc., etc. Having read the Indian texts and the Western texts, I created the Joyful Manifestation process. Guess what? It works. It really works. I have worked with this process on literally thousands and thousands of people. The Joyful Manifestation process contains soulmate manifestation and money manifestation. There is a soulmate manifestation process. All of this really works. I love helping people get together with their soulmates and have really successful lives. I also love helping people become successful in careers, realize their dreams. Have a joyful, happy, and successful life. We're stepping into money manifestation now, work and career, taking a little break and coming back soon. Hold on tight. We'll be right back. This is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show. Welcome back. We're into money manifestation now, work and career. 2019, it's a brand new year. You can start brand new and you can build up your fortune, your empire. You can build it up. You can play with your money. You can use it. You can have fun with it. You can do whatever you want to do with it. It's your choice. Money, energy, the consciousness of having money, being conscious of having money. When you wake up in the morning and you think of the money that you have, what are you conscious of? Is it consciousness of $100 in your bank, $200, $2,000, $20,000, $200,000, $2 million, $200 million, a billion, trillion? What is it that you're conscious of when you wake up in the morning? How do you feel when you think of your money? Oh my God, I've got so much money. Do you feel like that when you wake up? I have so much money, yes. Of course, we think of other things, right, when we wake up. But I'm just talking of money right here. This is a money manifestation section. Everything we talk about is going to support money. This is meant for people who want to make money and who want to make changes in their mind, in their consciousness, so that they can attract more money. For those who get offended by anything that I say about not having money, please don't, because I'm going to assume you're here just to learn how to make money. When you wake up in the morning and you think of how much money you have, how do you feel? Or during the day, how do you feel? What is it that you focus on? What are you conscious of? What is it that your consciousness is projecting? And what is it that your consciousness is attracting? Nobody, and I mean nobody, is stopping you from making the kind of money that you want. But it is what your consciousness is projecting that you're going to attract. Are there obstacles in your way that's going to stop you from going after the money that you want? Obstacles. Are you aware of these obstacles? And what are these obstacles doing to you and your search for money and your connection with people who have money? What are you flowing? What is the energy that you're flowing? Who are you attracting into your life? As a business person, when you're selling something, what are you selling? And who are the people who are buying from you? What is the nature of the clients who are coming to you? Do they have money? Or are they crying about it? Oh, I don't have money. I had $10. I spent it. Oh, now I'm sorry, but I have $5 to spend today. For a businessman, even though he could be very good, nice, forgiving, charitable, that's not what he wants to hear. Oh, I had $10 today, but I spent $5 and I have only $5 to give you. That's not what he wants to hear, no matter how good he is, because he has a business to take care of. He needs to make big money. He has to pay his employees. He has to take care of his family. He has to take care of everything. He has to take care of everything that he needs to make his business run, whatever his business is, no matter what his business is. He needs money to make his business run. Money and the consciousness for money. Money being the root of all evil. I've said it before, money is not the root of all evil. It's how you use money. It's people and their consciousness which can create evil or which can create good. In 2019, how much money are you going to make? If I was your money coach, what would you like to tell me? Sue, this is what I did. Sugandhi, this is what I did. This is what I made. I listened to you. I did this. I did this. I did this. I started this. I changed my consciousness. I'm moving towards people who have money. And I'm going away from people, moving away from people who are going to bring me down. Literally hold on to my legs and bring me down. There is this movie that I watch. It's an Indian movie. I watched it a few years ago. It was about, and it is about, a man, a businessman in India. This movie is based on his life. And the one thing he keeps saying in the movie, whenever somebody said no to him, was, "What? What did you say? Oh, did you say no? Is that what I heard? I'm not used to hearing the word no. I don't hear the word no." And that was his personal style. He doesn't hear the word no. He did not hear the word no. So somebody said no to him, that's yes. That means he needs to do it. He has to achieve it. He had to make a profit. That's it. That was his mindset. I watched that movie. I was very, very taken by the character. And he became really rich. He rose from nothing. And he became a multi-billionaire. There are people like that. It's how their consciousness is made. This is how their mind goes. This is how their mind seeks and searches. It doesn't make them bad people. It makes them really good people because now they have all the money in the world to do things with. And they're not crying, "I don't have money. I don't have money. Help me, God." And then banging head on the desk and then trying to bring everybody else down and making them feel bad about themselves because they are seeking something. It's much better to see a person who wants to do something and who wants to succeed in his life than somebody who doesn't want to do it and feels judgment about everybody else who wants to strive and make it big in life. As long as you're doing it on your own time, as long as you're doing what you want to do, using your talents and your creative gifts, your skills to provide services to people and make money from that. There is nothing really that is going to stop you. And if there's any sense of guilt, well, that guilt needs to be put somewhere else because guilt has no place in money manifestation. All of the guilt in the world is just to bring you down. It's just to make you come down the ladder because, hey, guess what? What? You attempted to climb the ladder. Wow. And that's a sin. Because you attempted to do that. You attempted to have a dream, and that's a sin. And all of the guilt in the world is just to make you come down the ladder of your dream. Money manifestation. If your consciousness doesn't have the right content, it cannot attract money. It cannot attract greater and greater money. Because you know what? Your consciousness is going to come awake, and your consciousness is going to think, "I don't have money." And then it's going to think of all the problems and everything else that is demanding rectification. Here is what's going to happen, right? Imaginary. We're imagining things right now. It's not real. Bang, bang, bang on the door. Milkman, he wants his bill. He wants his money. Newspaper man wants his money. Electric company wants his money. Gas, water, everybody wants their money. Car, I want my money. House, I want my money. I want my money. I want my money. And if your mind is full of this, your consciousness is going to have tremendous imprints of all the bills that it has to pay. And the amount of joy in your consciousness about the amount of money that you're going to attract today and tomorrow and day after tomorrow is going to go down and down and down. And all of the bills that you have to pay and this that you have to do and that you have to do and this and that and that and this and oh my God. How will your consciousness be free to attract money? It's all dependent on your consciousness. People who are trying to take money from you and who want money from you all the time, their consciousness is invading your mind, making big holes in it, making big holes because they want your money. What you need to do is connect your consciousness to people who want to give you money. Connect your consciousness to people who make a lot of money. Connect your consciousness to those people who have money to spend. That is how your consciousness is going to get really strong. Very, very, very strong. This is how it is. Your consciousness needs repair. It's not coming from healing. So you can't go to a healing store or a healing center and say, "Please heal my consciousness." They can't do it. Only you can do it. With the help of your manifestation coach, with the help of people who already know how to make money and who are already in very good money vibrations. Love for money feeling the joy for money, feeling the joy for what it can buy you, feeling all of the happiness that comes from living in a very, very good house and looking forward to an even better house. It's not that we're in poverty and then scratch that, fictitious Jane, bringing her in. Thank you, fictitious Jane. Bringing in fictitious Jane, and we're saying she is not going to be able to live in abject poverty and worry about all the bills and all the problems and then magically manifest money. There are exceptions, of course. However, fictitious Jane is going to have a very, very hard time to break out of the ceiling that she has been put in by herself and the people in her world and everything that she focuses her attention on. The fictitious Jane needs to think about what it is that she is thinking about and what it is that she is vibrating and take out any guilt that comes from wanting more. Wanting more money. Thinking of things that you can buy, thinking of where you can spend this money, having fun with money. The piece of paper, the dollar note, the $10 note, the $100 note, all of this has energy and all of this has purchasing power. God and humanity set this up. People set this up. People set up this method of giving money for material things exchanged. The mansion for $3 million, it's got a sticker price. It says $3 million. You cannot think of buying that mansion without $3 million first being in your bank. You need $3 million at the very least to buy that. And that's how much energy your bank account needs to have. Money manifestation 2019. Take a deep breath because we're going into a very, very short money manifestation visualization right now. So wherever we're sitting, in our cars, in our homes, at our desks, at work, wherever it is that we are sitting, taking a deep breath and we're relaxing ourselves, we're going into money manifestation for 2019. And we tell ourselves, you know, 2019, it brings great luck to me. It brings great prosperity to me. It brings great happiness to me. It brings great wealth to me. I will be taking a number of cruises this year, visiting different places. I will have the money to buy whatever it is that I need to visit all of these places. I can travel the world with the amount of money that I have in my bank account while doing the work that I love to do. I attract money. I attract the strong presence of money. And I seek the presence of people who have money and who are going to support me in this journey for making more and more money. 2019 sees the fulfillment of all my money goals. I will be touching all of my money goals. I will be making vast amounts of money in 2019. And there is nothing that's going to stop me. Nothing and nobody can keep me away from my money goals. And nothing and nobody can keep me away from the type of work that I would love to do in order to reach my money goals. I am sure that all the forces of the universe are going to support me in this year 2019 in my money manifestation work. I enjoy money manifestation. I enjoy joyful manifestation. I enjoy soulmate manifestation. I am a money manifester now. Breathe in deeply because you're allowing yourselves to fill in with money and you allow your mind to be taken over by thoughts of vast amounts of money and the utter luxury that you can experience and the various things that you can buy with money, hard cash in your pockets, in your wallet, in your bank. Wherever you look, there is money, and it's all coming to you right now. Now. You can open your eyes now. Feel refreshed and feel good because 2019 is a brand new year and you can make all the money that you want. We're stepping into soulmate manifestation now, love and sex. Listen to some music and come back soon. Everybody get up. Gandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show. We're into soulmate manifestation now. Love and sex. Today, we're going to talk about 50 Shades of Grey. The movie, yes. I admit, I haven't read the books. I admit. I only watched the movies. Today, we're talking about part one, 50 Shades of Grey. Everything that I'm saying is from the movie, not from the book. So if you find differences in narration, it's because I've only watched the movie. When I watch a movie, I don't go back and read the books. For example, Harry Potter series. I watched all the Harry Potters, all of them, but I did not go back and read the books. Because I know there's going to be a difference, and I know that it's going to spoil my take on the movie, because then what happens is, read the book, you know the differences. The producers and the directors did not do such a great job with the movie. And most of the time, the movie is not supposed to be as good as the book. Well, the movies don't match the books exactly. That is why I just decided I'm going to watch the movies. For the movies that I watch, I do not go back and read the books at all. I just don't. 50 Shades of Grey. Wow. I rewatched it just so that I could do this show. What do you feel about this movie? Have you watched it? It's actually quite a nice movie. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's good watching. And it's got a lot of psychology in it. It's got romantic psychology, and that's what I call it, romantic psychology. What makes somebody act like this and what makes somebody act like that and how to get around it. So here we have Anastasia, Anna. She is the heroine of the movie. Then you've got Christian Grey, who is the hero of the movie. Now, Christian Grey is supposed to be, quote-unquote, supposed to be dashingly good-looking, hot, etc. He's nice-looking, don't get me wrong. He is nice-looking, but... Okay, he's nice-looking, let's leave it at that. Anna, she's nice-looking too. I'm not going into the details as far as who they are in their personal lives as stars, etc. We're just going into the characters directly. She goes to interview him on behalf of her friend. She's got a list of questions. He makes it very difficult for her to ask him all the questions because he's studying her. He finds her fascinating. And he starts to study her. Then he starts to ask her questions about herself. She tries to invade his mind, but Christian Grey invades her mind. He finds her quite fascinating. She comes to the conclusion that Christian Grey is a control freak. He was smart, intense, and intimidating, according to Anna. She finds that there's something dangerous about Christian Grey. Just dangerous. And she has this feeling as soon as she met him that, oh God, this guy, there's something about him and I need to be careful. He kind of admits to her that he's used to having his own way. Fast forward, he visits her at her place of work, asks her for this item and that item. I think cable ties, rope, etc. She gives it all to him. And he says, is there anything else that you suggest? She says, how about overalls so that your clothes can remain clean, to prevent your clothes from getting dirty? And he said, how about I just take them all off? That's when he introduces intimacy into their space. From that point on, Christian Grey pretty much pulls Anna into his world. Into his world so that he could make her a contractual slave, where she becomes a submissive and he the dominant. This is where I personally heard the words submissive and dominant in terms of sex for the first time. And so, oh my God, Fifty Shades of Grey was a learning field for me. I heard things and I saw things in this movie that I didn't even know existed. Anna tries to teach Christian Grey how to love her. Christian Grey says, I'm not used to loving people and I do not get into relationships. I don't do romance. Says, my tastes are very singular. She says that she wanted somebody to sleep with her at night and to take her out for dinner and have some fun. Christian Grey, of course, says he's not into all of that. He tries to pull away from her when he finds out that she's a nice girl. But he finds that he's not able to do it. He's not able to get away from her. He really, really, really likes her. Christian starts to introduce Anna to abundance. The first date that they have, he flies her down to Seattle in his private helicopter.
November 1224, Charlie Tango, ready to depart.
Roger that, Charlie Tango. Your flight plan from Portland to Seattle is clear.
Seattle? That's where we're going?
I'm not sure if it's a date. He introduces her to a luxurious life right there in that moment. After he takes her to his apartment, a gorgeous apartment, gorgeous kitchen, gorgeous everything, he brings out a non-disclosure agreement.
What's this?
It's a non-disclosure agreement. It means that you cannot discuss anything about us with anyone. I'm afraid my lawyer insists on it.
I've never talked to anyone about us anyway. Are you gonna make love to me now?
Two things. First, I don't make love.
She lets him know that she's never made love to anybody and that she's a virgin. Of course, Christian Grey, he makes love to her to rectify the situation. The agreement, of course, has not been signed yet. He starts to tell her about dominating, the whole thing about dominating. And just when he's about to show her about what domination is, his mother enters. Christian Grey's whole thing is to try to get Anna to sign the contract. He gives her a new laptop. He gives her a new car. He introduces her to a different way of life. Anna, till now, has not signed the contract, whereas Christian Grey keeps pursuing her in the hopes of getting her to sign it. What Anna is holding on to is the fact that she wants to be romanced. And this is what she keeps telling Christian. She keeps trying to sell the idea of romance to Christian, and he wants to sell her the idea of subjugation and domination. She does give in to him on several occasions, of course, but she still hasn't signed the contract. Finally, Anna finds out from Christian that he is quite incapable of love. He does not want to sleep with her in her room. And when she disobeys him, he says he wants to punish her. The whole journey of Anna and Christian is a very complicated journey. Christian is a result of some things that happened to him in early childhood. He turned his attention to becoming successful. Thank God for that. Otherwise, who knows what he would have done with his mind. Anna, on the other hand, is not in favor of being a slave to him, like a sex slave. The weirdest thing is, however, even though she keeps saying that, she keeps engaging with him. She keeps engaging with him in these activities throughout the movie. And Christian Grey continues to introduce her to what luxury is and to what is a higher level of life. There are no judgments here. Christian Grey is just a character. Cannot think, of course, that it's because Christian is rich that he's like that. A lot of rich people who are pretty grounded. It's Christian's early childhood that made him like that. And Anna, she did not like the idea of being punished. There's this scene where she tells him, I don't want to be punished. Just like you don't like being touched, except while having sex. I don't want to be punished. Then she tells him, okay, show me your worst. What is it that you can't do? Then he goes about to show her. You can listen to this scene. It's really touching.
I just want to talk. Why won't you let me in? We should be talking.
Like normal people?
Yeah. Is that so wrong? Is this because of the contract? Because I still haven't signed it?
Fuck the contract. I think it's a little redundant, don't you?
So then the rules are redundant too?
No. The rules stand.
What if I break them?
Then there'll be consequences.
Punishment?
Yes.
Why do you want to punish me?
Yeah.
Why do you want to hurt me?
I would never do anything to you that you couldn't handle.
But why do you even want to do anything to me at all, Christian?
If I told you, you'd never look at me the same way again.
So there is a reason. Tell me. Do you want to punish me right now?
Yes. I want to punish you right now.
What if I told you that I feel the same way about being punished as you do about me touching you? Would you still want to punish me then?
No. But that doesn't mean I wouldn't need to.
Why?
Anna, stop.
Why do you need to?
Because it's the way I am!
Show me then. me what you want to do to me. Punish me. Show me how bad it can be. I want you to show me the worst. It's the only way I can understand.
She makes him punish her. That's when Anna decides she's not talking to him again. She walks out on him. That is where the story ends, part one of 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Grey, a lot of people have watched this movie. You don't have to take it too seriously. However, this play of man and woman and emotions trying to get something that somebody doesn't want to offer you. That's what Anna was doing right from the beginning. She always wanted more. And that's what she tells Christian. I want more. I want more. Christian says he doesn't want to give her more. The story of 50 Shades of Grey. A lot of using going on, according to Anna. Christian was using her for sex. By being the dominant and by making her a submissive. And if you look at it the other way, Anna was getting gifts from Christian, rides in the helicopter, new laptop, new car, and God knows what else. That's what happens in the next few movies. I think the next movie, especially part two, 50 Shades Darker, I think. He gives her even more gifts. The thing is not about him using her and her taking gifts from him. It's not about that. What happens is this is how they met. And this is how it started for them. This is their love story. And as outside people, we can't judge. We can have opinions, but every couple has a way that they start. It's a way that they start their love story. For Christian to meet Anna and to pursue her and to win her over, to realize love, this is how he had to start. He had to start somewhere. And for Anna to love Christian Grey, the man that he is, the way he was, dashingly good looking, according to the movie, She has to walk the path that he drew for her initially, just to get to know him, to get into his life, and to make the kind of changes that she needed to make in his mind so that he could love her truly. So you see, both of them had to kind of compromise in this, how they first meet each other and how they start their story and then how it progresses. Abundance factor, the material wealth factor in this movie. People can go to this movie, watch it and say, oh my God, look at her. He's buying her with everything. But this is how he knows what to do. He's rich and she doesn't have that. So he buys her things because he likes her. For him, it's easy. And sometimes, you know, where Anna is, she was just like a student. She was a literature student. She just graduated. For her to immediately be sucked into this wealth, it happened because of Christian Grey's very strong aura for wealth, which he has created over years. He's established in his aura for wealth. It's come to him over years of hard work, really, really, really hard work. And when she entered his aura, it sucked her in, into that world of wealth. What she did for him was she sucked him into a world of love, true love. So each of them had something to give the other person, and they helped each other. Anna was busy waiting for Christian Grey. It was not that she was getting involved with anybody else. She really liked him. She found him attractive, really attractive. And they had a lot of great sex in the movie. The first time he introduces her to his playroom, that's the first time I knew that such playrooms even existed. 50 Shades of Grey. I didn't even know you had such playrooms. Oh, people have these playrooms? Wow. All right. Well, Christian Grey has one in this movie. And he introduces her to it. He introduces her to pleasure. He introduces her to a whole new world of amazing, amazing things. She finally, however, hits a wall when she wants to convert Christian into loving her deeply, true love, because she falls in love with him. And that's where the movie ends, part one, 50 Shades of Grey, ends, where she discloses to him that she has fallen in love with him. And Christian Grey does not know what to do with that information. All he could do was to let her go because he was not ready for that. Of course, that's why we have part two, where she does win him over and they do fall deeply in love with each other, even more so. And there's a lot of true love happening in part two of the movie, which we can talk about later on. This movie, however, what does it have to do with the law of attraction? As I was saying, Christian Grey had an amazing, amazing wealth karma. He was amazingly rich, amazingly so. And Annis, by herself, to reach his levels, first of all, she would probably never reach his levels. And even if she did, it would take her years and years and years of effort to go there. And with her education background in literature, the chances of her being a cutthroat business person to reach that place were very small. But just meeting Christian Grey and him absorbing her into his aura, which, by the way, is filled with money. It's stuffed with money. He has so much money, he doesn't know what to do. It just falls on top of her. And he's able to support her and give her everything. What his aura doesn't contain, however, is true love, romantically speaking. There is money manifestation going on over here for Anna. And then there is soulmate manifestation going on for Christian Grey. Christian Grey helping Anna with money manifestation. Anna helping Christian Grey with soulmate manifestation. And if they had not met each other, each person would be depleted in some way. One factor of their lives. This is a soulmate relationship. 50 Shades of Grey. No matter how much it takes you into the playroom, no matter how much they show you this side of lovemaking, ultimately it is a love story because it is two soulmates who have strengths in various areas who come together and then share with each other the wonder of being in love and the wonder of experiencing wealth. Helicopter rides, rides in planes. She saw it all. She saw it with him. She experienced it. And how many women wouldn't want that, correct? A rich soulmate. The problem that Christian Grey and Anna have in this movie is there are so many emotions being released. So many emotions that torture Anna. She gets into emotions right in the beginning and she tortures herself over it. From the start, she's trying to change Christian Grey into making him what she wants. She starts this process of trying to convert him. The amount of joy in the movie that she really experiences are completely overtaken by the amount of emotions that she expends towards him. From the beginning, it's push, pull, push, pull. In joy, is pushed away. And finally, of course, she says, why don't you punish me? Show me what you're capable of. And she makes him punish her. What is the point of making him punish her? You know he can punish you. Why do you want him to punish you? Why are you challenging him to punish you? And then he feels really bad because in him, the ability to punish her, it is there. And she pushes him and pushes him and pushes him and makes him punish her. And then after that, he's sitting there sweating, not feeling good about himself, and she walks out on him. If you were going to walk out on him, Anna, why are you asking him to punish you in the first place? What are you trying to prove? Oh, I want to teach him a lesson. You already know how he is. Why do you want him to punish you, beat you up, teach you, and then teach him a lesson, make him feel bad about it after he's done it all, and then walk out on him? The element of joy in this is very low. It's about punishing. It's about crying. It's about teaching people lessons and trying to make Christian Grey feel bad about himself. Finally, yes, he does fall in love. We have part of the movie that comes in and he is in love with her, but she puts him through hell, emotional hell, all because she has some idea in her mind about what she wants. When she makes him hit her, to show her what punishment is. That was when I said, oh, okay, that's manipulation right there. And you want him to feel bad. And then you walk out on him for that. You already know the man has a problem. Why are you poking it? Aren't there other ways to make a man love you rather than poke him, push him, pull him, punch him, beat him up? Why not do things in a happy way? There are happy ways to do things. And that's what joyful manifestation is about. And that's what the soulmate manifestation process is about. There are wonderful ways to win somebody over. There are wonderful ways to make somebody love you. And ultimately, you have to be capable of loving yourself. And the person is your mirror. The soulmate is your mirror. He is going to show you how worthy you are of love. But it doesn't come from punishing somebody by making him punish you and putting him through all the works. And then you're going through all the waterworks. I call them, you know, waterworks. That's what happened in 50 Shades of Grey. This is a good movie. You don't have to judge the first part of it where this is how they meet. This is their interaction. This is unique to them. But ultimately what she puts him through to make him punish her and then walk out on him for doing that. Poking him, till he exploded and he did just what she wanted him. Why? To show him that he's a bad guy. And this is what Anna does to Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey. There are things that are beautiful about this movie, and what I really like about it is that Christian Grey showers on different aspects of life that she would not have had on her own. If there is a soulmate relationship that you're working on, there are ways to do this that are not painful, that are full of fun, joy, and love. And that is joyful manifestation. Follow the soulmate manifestation process. There are better ways to do this. There are better ways to make somebody love you. There are better ways to experience love. There are better ways to experience everything that is amazing in this world. It's not what Anna put Christian Grey through at the end of the movie, leaving him broken and hurt. I wish she had followed joyful manifestation. Finding abundance, finding love, finding wealth, all of this is easy when you're sharing it with your soulmate. Each person can have one part or one aspect of the whole, and the two people share it with each other, bringing each other to fulfillment. Keeping in mind vibrations of joy and what it is that one wants to share, and not allowing the negatives in. What Anna did in this movie was, while she was liking Christian Grey, she let all the negatives of the situation play with her mind. She could have taken a little bit of distance from that situation and allowed Christian Grey to fall in love with who she really is, the person, instead of going down this path with him and making him look really bad in the end. What she could do was to show him from a slight distance who she is and what she can bring to him. She could follow joyful ways of doing this, and there are joyful ways of bringing your soulmate to you, to make him be happy that he even met somebody like you, that he even knows somebody like you, rather than pushing him through all the emotional ups and downs and making him feel bad about himself, which is what Anna did in this movie. This is Sugandhi Iyer for the Joyful Manifestation Show, wishing you a wonderful 2019 and hoping that 2019 brings you a lot of abundance, happiness, and love. We'll meet with you again 2 weeks later, 6 p.m. PST. Thank you and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Manifestation Show is now broadcasting live on over 100 digital stations. These stations include 24 foreign stations in over 13 countries and social media websites, which include Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. You can hear us live on iTunes, Spreaker, LA Radio FM, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, AHA Radio, and more. And you can always catch the podcast for the Joyful Manifestation Show on Radio, among others. Joyful Manifestation Show is heard all over the world. We'll take you where you want to go.